Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we have good news. Bond buyers love New York. Now, why this week's closely watched New York City bond sale went better than expected, and what it means for the city budget and Mayor de Blasio's progressive agenda. I'm joined by Jessica Gould, WNYC reporter, and Maria Dulles, Director of City Studies for the watchdog group, the Citizens Budget Commission. Hi, Maria. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. Morning.
Jessica, there was concern going into the bond sale that Mayor de Blasio's progressive agenda would scare away investors because it suggests more government spending. But what actually happened with this bond sale?
So it went really well. The city alerted me last night that things, two thumbs up. There was a lot of demand. Demand actually outstripped supply, so they ended up refinancing more bonds at a low interest rate than they thought they were going to. And, you know, this is good news for the city in terms of its ability to pay a lower rate for its bonds, and it's good news for the future of infrastructure. But most of all, it's, I think, a reflection of how people are feeling in Wall Street about the de Blasio administration. There was a lot of anxiety among some investors, not all, but some, about what Mayor de Blasio was going to be like as a fiscal steward. There was a level of comfort with Mayor Bloomberg in the finance community, understandably so. And there were questions about Mayor de Blasio, but it seems like Wall Street says he's all good.
So does the Citizens Budget Commission say he's all good, even with all this pre-K, all this after school? A lot of that is funded by the state. Other progressive things that he wants to do that do imply the city spending money. The investment community took a look at this and said, well, he's financing it. Or what's your take?
There's certainly some very good things in this budget. There were extra revenues realized as a result of better economic activity, and rather than spending all of that, some of that was used to replenish the trust fund, which was really important in getting the city through the financial crisis.
And when you say in this budget, it's currently negotiation season. The city's fiscal year runs July 1st to June 30th.
That's
so
right.
By the end of this month, the city council and the mayor need to come up with a new budget for next year. So it's the mayor's budget blueprint, his proposals, that these investors were looking at and saying, well, okay, this is not going to break the bank.
Right. And one of the reasons is that the major initiative that added spending was picked up by the state. That's the pre-K program. The state provided the funding for that and also some additional educational aid that will be used for the after-school programs. Some of the other spending initiatives are really smaller dollar items that can be funded within the current budget. But really what this budget does is resolve a major uncertainty around the unsettled labor contracts. And the greatest one of these was the UFT, both because the UFT is 40% of the workforce, but also because their contract was expired back to 2009. So this is sort of starting to paint the broad strokes of what the picture will be with personal service costs and salaries and wages for the workforce going forward throughout the financial plan. And based on the pattern in the UFT contract, it does appear that it will be affordable and reasonable for the city to manage going forward. This does rest, however, on, you know, because the workforce is 300,000 people, the affordability does rest somewhat on obtaining health savings with the Municipal Labor Committee as part of this grand bargain.
So, listeners, did you buy a New York City bond yesterday? What interest rate are you willing to accept on that bond? Give us a call on that or anything else having to do with the city's fiscal health in the progressive de Blasio era, at least so far. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-WNYC. 9692 for Maria Dulles from the Citizens Budget Commission, a budget watchdog group, and WNYC reporter Jessica Gould. Jessica, to stay on the teacher's contract, big indicator, obviously, that everyone was watching to see how all the other contracts might go in taxing and spending terms. And the big question is the to-be-determined health care savings, still to be determined. The mayor's projection is over $1 billion of savings on health care for teachers in the first contract year. How specifically is that now laid out in the budget?
Well, I think it's important to note that while the bond sale went well yesterday, there are these lingering questions, and one of the big ones is the health savings. We try to get more definition about what they're going to be, but they say that's up to negotiations in the unions, and we don't have a lot of information. However, the city is careful to say that if it, you know, if they can't reach an agreement, they will be mandated to through arbitration. So,
and the mayor basically said as much on this show a few weeks ago that that number needs to be met. So do you at the Citizens Budget Commission as a watchdog group have confidence in that number of over $1 billion in health care cost savings over the first contract year?
We have some concerns, and we're a little bit skeptical about how it can be reached, given some of the menu of options that have been laid forth. If the purpose of the exercise is really to bend the health care cost curve, then the actions that should be on the table and that should be negotiated are really those that make the system operate more efficiently, produce recurring savings, and really lower the city's premium payments through lower provider payments or less service utilization. And some of the things that have been put on the table, as described by the Labor Commissioner, don't really meet that. They're talking really about capping the rates, removing people from the rolls, other sort of tapping the stabilization fund, things that will produce one-time savings but won't really meet this recurring benchmark by forcing structural changes. So they're going to be producing quarterly reports, and we will be watching closely to see what these actions are and how they'll be reaching the savings.
On the fiscal health of New York City in the progressive de Blasio era, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And, oh, I thought we – can I take George in Brooklyn? Let's go to – nope, maybe we don't have George in Brooklyn. Maybe we do have George in Brooklyn. Or maybe we don't. Oh, we do. Hi, George, you're on WNYC.
Hi. I didn't buy any bonds yesterday, but I was wondering whether the guest knows if there's a cycle in these things. Like Detroit didn't go out of business in one day. It wasn't one day that everybody didn't buy their bonds. Where are we in the cycle of, let's say, in Detroit?
Right. And it's a great question to look not just at this year's budget, for the fiscal year about to begin in July, but over the long term. And there are deficits that are projected over the next several years. And over the longer term, Maria, there are pension obligations that are not yet funded, right?
Right. The pension system is not fully funded under the new actuarial system that was put in place just 2 years ago. But I think even more worrisome than that, because at least the city has been very responsible in making that full pension payment, is the fact that we have a $90 billion liability for unfunded retiree health care.
Over what period of time?
Over 30 years. You know, that's really worrisome because retirees expect that they will be getting this health care. And until we start thinking about how that will be funded, it represents a really big risk to the city. The city is also very indebted. So we have been getting this great interest rate because investors feel confident that the city can repay the bonds. But at some point, the level of indebtedness impacts your budget and whether what you can do in terms of programs and services because you have to pay so much back in debt service. So those are both two very big long-term kind of items that we have to keep an eye on.
Jessica, is one of the reasons that Mayor de Blasio's progressive agenda is not breaking the bank, so to speak, that most of it is on the private sector, that rather than spending a lot of city money on new programs or expanded programs, what they're really doing is requiring the private sector to do stuff like paid sick leave and a more expansive living wage requirement, or the private sector creating more affordable housing in the deals that he's working out with developers.
Well, things like affordable housing actually do have pretty big price tags for the city. I think it's around $8 billion in the budget for affordable housing alone. The city is getting some help in some of his major policy priorities with pre-K. That's coming from the state, so that is easing the pressure on the budget. So most people say that the real stress on the budget is the labor contract. And I think it's important to note that while yesterday's bond sale went well, there are other reasons for that. There's a lot of demand in the bond market right now, and there's not a lot of supply generally. And also, the city has very strong revenues right now. But that could all change. So these are things to watch for in the
time to come. Strong revenues in no small measure because Wall Street is doing very well.
Right. I mean, some might say that Wall Street has lost some jobs lately overall, but in general, the revenues for the city are high.
Right. The Wall Street companies are making a lot of profits, which means they're paying a lot of taxes. They haven't been hiring back a lot of the people they laid off, so those profits are being concentrated, but right. They're still there, which means that there are tax dollars flowing into the city's coffers. Let's take another call. Jose, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jose.
Good morning. Great show.
Thank you
for your work.
Thanks so much.
I was calling because I believe the administration is investing in the future. You know, they are investing in children, in preschool, and infrastructure. So if they continue to do so, people in Wall Street are going to be interested because New York City will become just better and better. Now, I believe it's a long-term investment. All these children 10, 15, 20 years from now are going to be successful because of this. But I believe we all need to work together, and I think the mayor is doing a great job by doing this because it's a long-term investment, and New York City needs it right now.
Jose, I'm going to leave it there, and thank you very much. Please call us again. But Maria, this is an interesting idea from a fiscal standpoint. Does the bond market, do investors have the capability to look at something like a lot of spending on universal pre-K, even though that's coming from the state, and say, well, this isn't just spending that I should look at as a liability when I'm deciding whether to invest in New York City. This is an asset that presumably is going to produce a more educated workforce, fewer people on welfare, a higher income in the city in general with more qualified people to take more high-paying jobs down the road. Do investors look at it that way? Do you as a budget watchdog have a way to put a number on that kind of long-term projection?
It's very hard with investments in human capital to really figure that out because it is a long-term investment, but also we have not yet implemented the plan. We don't know what exactly the quality of these programs will be, and so we can't really extrapolate from there. I think investors do look at other types of spending like infrastructure spending and investments towards getting our infrastructure, our roads, bridges, schools to a state of good repair and making sure that those kind of investments allow the city to thrive and business to operate. So they do take that into account as well as other factors. I mean, Wall Street is thriving now, but the city's adding low-paying jobs. And the city tax base is, there's a plus and minus. We rely not only on the property tax, but other more cyclical taxes. And so we're a little bit more vulnerable to economic downturns. So investors look at a whole myriad of things when really assessing whether city bonds are a good bet.
So, Jessica, the bond sale yesterday, which produced, if I'm reading this right, it produced about $150 million more dollars than it was projected to take in. Is that about right?
I believe that's true.
So does that mean with the budget negotiations underway for the July 1st fiscal year that there's $150 million more dollars to spend on more police officers or universal free school lunch or other social goods that are currently under discussion?
That's a really good question. I know that it was the refinancing of old debt. I'm not sure what they're going to do with it exactly, though I do know that they were refinancing debt to help balance the budget for this year and next.
Right.
But I think it's we'll have to watch whether the council priorities that you just mentioned get written into this budget. That's another angle to this. We haven't seen a whole lot from the de Blasio administration in terms of incorporating the council priorities like universal free lunch in schools and the additional police officers.
The city has been doing a really good job refinancing the debt pretty aggressively, but the way they've tended to structure this is for a single-year budget savings. So that could provide a pot of money for the council to add its member items to the budget as well.
And when you both keep saying refinance the debt, let's put a number on that. What was the interest rate in this sale yesterday? Do you know? If I'm sick of getting 0.01% in my bank savings account, and I think, well, gee, a New York City bond, that's a pretty safe investment. I'm gonna put a little savings in that. What interest rate would it return?
I think it was 3.7. I'm not 100% for sure.
I don't have the number, but what I understand is that it was in line with what it had been previously. So the interest rate had gone, down and down and then sort of stabilized, and that continued through this sale, which was the first of the de Blasio, big sale of the de Blasio administration.
Pat in Somerset, you're on WNYC. Hi, Pat.
Hi. My question has to do with, and your guests may not be qualified to answer this, but whether, in fact, the wonderful response to the offering is has to do with the state of the world economy and not so much New York, what's actually happening in New York City. How much of this money are is foreign investors buying, and the fact that simply investing in New York City may be just much more a better outlook than investing in Italy or Spain or Greece or France or some other place.
Right. It's really a great question. How much of it actually reflects confidence in the de Blasio administration's fiscal management per se and the affordability of his progressive agenda? How much of it is just investors looking around and say, well, gee, Rome would be riskier and London would be riskier and Columbus, Ohio would be riskier, so I guess it's New York.
Well, the city bonds are very highly rated, AA, AAA, and so part of that is a comfort with saying, yes, the city has managed its finances well in the last decade, last 15 years, and we think that's a safe bet. We're willing to accept a lower interest rate because we think we'll get our money back.
Is it a bet, though, also, I think the caller was implying, on future economic growth, that they think that business is going to continue to thrive here and more so to produce stable tax revenues down the road?
That's part of the equation as well.
I had heard from one investor yesterday that they ultimately did not buy the city bonds because they felt that there wasn't a much room for yield for the investors themselves, that, you know, the city is doing well, but they're not sure it's an investment worth doing in the long term.
Although 3.7 is pretty good if you think it's a safe investment. I realize this is not insured like a bank account. But then again, it's not a mutual fund either, where you're just at the whim of the market. We had a guest from the Manhattan Institute recently, Maria, who expressed concern that Mayor de Blasio is threatening the city's long-term fiscal health by borrowing to pay for current operating expenses. And she said that's the kind of thing that got us down the rabbit hole to insolvency back in the 70s. But that take has come under a lot of fire. Do you see any parallel with the 70s, or are you concerned about borrowing in the mayor's budget?
Well, there's borrowing for infrastructure, but there's, you know, borrowing for, I think what she's referring to is this teacher's contract. And the fact is that a significant portion of these, the costs associated with providing the teachers with the 2-4% raises are going to be outside the financial plan. And the administration has not released too much detail to specify exactly what those costs will be. So in a sense, there is some of that borrowing. I think it's important to be a little bit more transparent about what those costs will be. You know, the budget sort of runs on this one-year cycle. We tend to develop a little bit of amnesia. So I think it's important to be more specific about how these costs will impact.
But the way you describe it, it's not so much borrowing, really, as making an assumption that the savings are actually going to materialize.
Well, for the health insurance.
Yes.
Right. Yes, that's assumed in the plan. And if those targets aren't met, though they say they will go to arbitration and ensure the targets are met, if the targets aren't met, then the budget gaps open up further.
Jessica, before you go, it is already June 12th. The fiscal year does begin July 1st. What are the big remaining differences between the mayor's budget and the city council's budget that need to be resolved?
Well, they still want to see 1,000 additional police officers.
The council does.
The council
the mayor
does.
Doesn't.
So far as we've heard. And universal free lunch in schools and an expansion of the summer youth employment program.
Not huge differences.
Not huge differences. The city was saying that it would end the budget dance, so there may be 3 steps left, so we'll see.
Usually, a lot of New Yorkers, if they've been around for a while, remember usually at this time of year, and even in the Bloomberg years, right up until last year, we're talking about threats to close firehouses and senior centers and libraries, and the council, quote, restores the mayor's budget cut, regimen. None of that's going on?
I was at a council hearing last week, and there was sort of a respectful request to reconsider these few items. But so far, no big protests that I've seen.
WNYC's Jessica Gould, covering the New York City budget and finances, and Maria Dulles, Director of City Studies for the Watchdog Group, the Citizens Budget Commission. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.